This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Yo!
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 I just copied you. Yo!
Yo, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
And this is what you should be doing before you go out on a Friday night to party and watch films and shit.
It's Back Row and Chill.
Yeah. And we're chilled because it's the one before Good Friday.
Oh, it is. It's Easter Halls now.
Yeah.
So everybody's out and about and the sun is out.
The sun is out. Have you got all your chocolate ready for Easter? I know you love chocolate.
What, like, as in men or...
No, I didn't say that. I just said I know you love chocolate. Where your dirty mind takes it is up to you.
I can't actually, like, stock Easter eggs because if I get one, I'm going to eat it.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah.
Just straight in the mouth.
Just goes in the mouth.
Straight down.
Yeah.
They sent me a message. Noel, talk to your mic, please. You know, please is the actual word. It's not just PLS.
Plus. Yeah, you got to get down with all the kids and the slang, Noel.
No, I'm too old for that. That's why Brotherhood was the end. I'm done with that. I'm done with that sort of, you get me, stuff.
Oh, they've changed it to please now.
Thank you.
Talk proper English, Mr. Clark, please.
So when you say talk to your mic, you mean talk into my mic or just talk to it?
Yeah, because you tend to like... rotate around.
I know, because I'm not a radio guy. I kind of rotate around and do stuff, and
you know.
And I'm getting ready for Easter, so I'm imagining all the chocolate I'm gonna eat too.
I'm so excited. I mean, chocolate is. See, it's on my brain. Mm-hmm. Easter's my favorite because of chocolate. So I'm definitely gonna be getting some eggs in, but I have to buy them the day after, and they're all half price.
That's a good idea.
Hashtag life hack.
Life hack. Good one. That's a good idea. But then, what do you eat on actual Easter?
Leftovers? I didn't think that through. Yeah, true.
Well, anyway, guys, this is the place to be on your Friday before you go out, and we're going to give you loads of stuff. Johanna, what we got
a jam-packed show. We've got so many guests in today. We've got Abraham Lewis talking about Sky's new show, Gorilla.
Which, surprisingly, is not about gorillas. I was very disappointed.
Oh, that would have been good. I do love gorillas. Yeah. Second favourite animal. We've got Kaiser Dean coming in to talk about expensive shit at Soho Theatre.
Yeah.
We've got some of the cast from The Life musical in London. Lucy Patterson's coming in for film reviews. We've got entertainment news, competitions. Stay tuned for the next two hours, guys.
Hell, that's good shit, man.
And music-wise today,
yeah.
I think I've done so good. I've done 90s movie hits.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm hoping that...
90s movie hits.
You guys will recognise a couple of these. And if you're liking the music, if you're liking what you're talking about, get involved. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio email into the show.
Email into the show. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio.
Yeah. chill@foodbarradio.com is the email address. We will shout you out. Get involved. Maybe. If it's funny, entertain us, people.
Yeah, entertain me. Let you entertain me. That's what you got to do.
That was 90s, was it? Maybe. Just.
No, I think that's 2000s. You know? I think so, yeah.
Getting old. Well, this definitely was from the 90s. This is Ice Cube, You Can Do It. So we're gonna play this.
Oh, yeah, you can do it. I've heard as well.
Yeah, yeah. Get your ass up and hurry up. Ice Cube, baby. 99, baby. I'm on the grind, baby. All the time, baby. Show me something.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
Yeah. I can do it, put your ass into it.
Put your back into it.
Put your ass into it. Hear me banging down these back streets. Bumping black street, treated like an athlete. Life ain't a track meet.
No.
It's a marathon. Fuck the cemetery that a nigga gets buried on. We be coming to the day we die. Yeah, nigga, yeah. Ask the bartender if you think we lie. But if you think we hot, nigga, think again. Cause when it's sink or swim, you got to think to win. Uh-huh. And if I drink this in, everybody know it. Cause I ain't going for it. So pray to the Lord that I don't pull out. Cuss out and bust out. Go to nigga proud. Make the trigger shout. You can try to smoke an ounce to this. Well, I pronounce this shit. Baby, bounce them tits. I'ma move them hips. Baby, shake them cheeks. I got dick for days. You got ass for weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't stop, giddy.
That's real.
Don't stop, nigga, hit it.
I will. I'm gon' do it. Gon' do it. Gon' do it. Do it, do it.
Uh-huh.
You can do it. Put your back into it.
Come on.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
Come on.
You can do it, put your back into it.
Come on.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
Put your back into it.
Put your ass into it. Now all I wanna do is have fun with my loved ones. The loved ones, relatives, and my cousins. And I got them by the dozens. When they buzz on, quick to say, fuck your husband. This is for my niggas locked away.
real.
Don't stop, nigga, hit it.
I will, gon' do it, gon' do it, gon' do it, do it, do it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
Put your back into it.
Put your ass into it.
I do hardcore rhyming, hard time grinding. Gorilla pimp hoes while the niggas wine and dining. I kinda love this thug shit, that's class in the mud shit. Pockets on flood shit, OG grip of blood shit. I don't rent, I buy shit, niggas jealous of my shit. Wonder where this young nigga get all this fly shit. While you rootin' and recruitin', nigga 6'8 hoopin'. I was in the hood shootin', plus I had the white whoopin'. I come from Pyrex bowls and oversized jars. I'm passed up stripes, I got stars and bars. No time for player, Haitian Mac, paper chasing. Kicked out the substation to the hip-hop nation. The more hits, the more bigger, with illegal weight figures. Done develop the status of a platinum plus nigga. But the first bad hope for show, I can hit it. I keep pushing, don't quit it, don't stop till I get it.
Don't stop, get it,
that's real.
Don't stop, nigga, hit it.
I will, I'm gon' do it, gon' do it, gon' do it, do it, do it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
Come on, I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
Don't stop, get it,
never, that's never. Real.
Don't stop, nigga, hit it.
I will, I'm gon' do it, gon' do it, gon' do it, do it, do it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it. Put your ass into it.
We be clubbing.
We got pictures close to fornication.
We be clubbing.
Get your ass up, no.
And my ass is always up, babe.
Always.
Yeah. That was a good tune. I'll give you that. That was a good tune.
Okay.
Ice Cube.
Cool.
Ice Cube.
Okay.
All right, so what
one
we got
point.
Now? So hit me.
1 point. Okay. Hit me with what? Some entertainment news.
Sure.
What's going on in the world of the world?
Entertainment news.
Entertainment news. Okay. So apparently.
Yes.
Clowns are causing a big. They're very concerned at the moment about the new It trailer. Stephen King's It movie. Because apparently it's going to bring down the business because it's spreading negative images of clowns to children. So it's going to basically fuck up their
But people
their
hate
revenue.
Clowns anyway.
Do you? I'm not scared of clowns.
Me neither. I'm not one of the people that are scared of clowns. And I don't necessarily mind a clown. But the amount of people I hear that are scared of clowns and don't like clowns, even McDonald's don't really use their clown anymore.
What happened to Ronald McDonald?
He's in jail with Jimmy Savile. He's in.
Probably.
No, I'm just joking. Like but listen, Ronald McDonald is not used anymore for that reason. Clowns are scary.
Well, I don't think they're that scary. I mean, to be fair, like, I've seen scarier makeup on like girls in Essex or something. So
some of them look like clowns too.
Do you know what I mean? So that's probably more like.
See, now you're going to get the Essex people on you. If you are from Essex and do not like what Johanna James just said, please tweet in and email at chill@foodbarradio.com and tell her that Essex girls do not look like clowns.
Well, you know, so I'm not saying everyone, just to backtrack on that.
You can't backtrack.
Okay, I'm going to stand by my statement. Okay, so I don't know, clowns, maybe they're just, it's a bit of a hullabaloo, but I still want to go see the film, so.
I don't really want to see it.
You're not going to go see it?
No, I'm not interested.
Oh,
doesn't interest me, to be honest.
Not interested.
They've
clowns.
Made it like 4 times since I've been alive, so I'm kind of like over it.
What if it was a female clown? A spin on that.
Harley Quinn. Done. Been there. Done that.
But not a sexy female clown. Like a
Harley Quinn's quite
an
sexy.
An old clown.
An old sexy
an
clown.
An old female. Not a sexy clown, just a female clown.
Hold on. Is she sexy or just old female clown? Because you said sexy at first. Like, I'm just trying to understand.
No, I said not
with.
Sexy.
Not sexy.
Not sexy. Doesn't have to be.
Well, then she doesn't have to be a clown. That's just free. That's just scary.
Just an old woman hiding in the sewer.
That just follows you about. That's just, and you turn around, she's there. That's just scary.
Cool.
I'd have to punch it up.
That's
I'd be
a
like,
film.
Listen, you're following me. I know you're following me. You come closer.
Yeah.
You're gonna get it. And she'll be like, yeah, what? No, not that. Not that. You're gonna get a fist.
You're gonna get this fist.
She's gonna. That's what I want. No, not in. Not there. In the mouth. She'd be like, I want that too. No, yeah, there'll be problems.
There's Noel's new film, everyone, called She's There.
She's
it's going to be out next
yeah.
week. Right, so Barry Manilow.
Yes.
Been in the news.
Wait, do people even know who Barry Manilow is? People that listen to us.
Well, you know, I have a friend who was all over Barry Manilow. She loved Barry Manilow.
Shut up.
Yeah, honestly. No, I mean, way. We used to like rip her a little bit for it. Cause,
unsurprisingly.
Because he is for...
Wait, was your friend 70?
No, she was my age. She was like, she's loved him ever since she was a teenager. Yeah. But Barry Manilow, he's a classic singer. He sings like Coco Cabana.
Ask your mum who Barry Manilow is.
Coco Cabana, that one. Anyway, he's come out as gay, which is a bit
Shut
like,
up!
Who?
He has not.
Yeah?
No, he's not. This has not happened.
He's 73.
This has not happened.
He's been secretly married.
This has not happened.
To his boyfriend.
Barry Manilow has not. Do not listen to Johanna James. I think there's a problem here.
No, Barry Manilow, he's come out as gay and he said he's really sorry he didn't say before, but he thought that fans would be upset. But he's actually been with his boyfriend partner for 40 years and they've got married and yeah.
Barry Manilow has come out as gay.
Yeah.
Well, mate, I got to tell you, I'm happy for him if that's what floats his boat. But I am surprised.
Yeah.
I am legitimately surprised.
He wears a lot of makeup. I was like,
yeah, and little thongs and stuff. But that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, he has. Barry Manilow reveals he's gay.
Can you imagine waiting that long to reveal your happiness? There must be.
I know.
Must 40 be tough for him.
Years pretending.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 40 years pretending? But the thing is that his fans, most of his fans don't mind. They've all sent like huge congratulations. And I do think maybe if he came out.
Your friend is crying into her soup though.
Yeah,
right now.
She's just like, oh, Barry.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, why did he feel like he couldn't come out? I mean, society's pressure in our industry can be really. Society's pressure and our industry can be very tricky with that stuff.
But, you know, he's paving the way. Paving the way.
Well, I mean, I'm glad he's happy, but, you know, maybe he should have come out before that.
Yeah, you think so? Well...
And been happy. Then he could have been out happy. Him and Elton could have been out and about, hitting the town.
Oh, yeah.
Because Elton came out.
When did Elton come out? Yeah.
Years ago.
Like, he was
been
like
happy.
One of the first... Yeah. Brilliant.
George Michael came out.
Yeah.
Rest his soul.
Yeah, he should have joined the movement. He's a bit late on the train. But,
yeah.
You know what? Maybe he thought... I'm going to give it some space and then now I'm going to be all over the news.
I'll give it 50 years. I'll give it 50 years.
Give it 50 years and now I'll be in the news. You've had your time, Elton.
Yeah.
It's old news now for Elton, but now he's all over the news.
Wow.
So, Shia LaBeouf.
That genuinely was amazing news, by the way. Good, well done.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. I'm very surprised.
You literally jumped up. It was great.
I did not believe that.
Yeah. So Shia.
Good on you, Barry. Sorry.
Shia LaBeouf. Are you a fan of Shia?
You fan of Shia? I like Shia. Shia, I met when I won the BAFTA in 2009 on stage. And he was one of those people that was whispering in my ear at the time. He said something really quickly. I won't repeat what he said, but it was nice. And I've seen him since a few times. And every time I see him, he remembers me. And he'll give me a hug and we'll have a chat. And then he goes about, like, I don't have his number or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I never asked him, but he always remembers me and we have a chat.
He's a semi-friend.
I just think that's nice because he doesn't have to be like that, you know?
No,
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, that's nice because you hear someone, he gets a lot of bad press, so...
Because he's a dude. He's just a fucking dude.
Yeah, he just will go out
he'll slap you in your
out.
Mouth. Yeah.
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 That's cool. That's hot.
Anyway.
Right, so anyway, his film Man Down, which is all about a war veteran suffering from PTSD.
Yes.
It was only released in one cinema this weekend in England, and only one person bought a ticket. So the grand total for his whole movie was £7.
£7 for Shia LaBeouf. And where did you read this?
It's on Sky's Entertainment News webpage.
See, I don't think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've done this to me before.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I don't think it's fair because... If a film is only released in one cinema for one day, one screening, and makes £7, that's not really... I mean, I'm glad we're talking about it because we have an opinion on it and we're a film and entertainment show, but that's not fair because if that's the case, then why would it make more money than that? You know, I had a very small British film that we did independently and we managed to do pretty... Well, Stories 24, where I met you.
Oh, yeah.
We managed to do decently well with it over here. It got a nice American sale, went to America, talking to... Shut up telling me to talk in the mic. I talk where I want. My show. It went to America. It did really well. It went to America, did really well. Got a US sale. And then the distributor in America put it in one cinema for one day.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason they do that sometimes is to unlock TV deals.
Okay.
So when they put it in a theatrical screening, it ticks a box on a TV sale and they can get sometimes 3-4 times the money. Of course, The Guardian over here decided to make that a news article.
Right.
And said, oh, Noel Clarke's film, lowest grossing film of 2014 in America. Now, that's a cunty thing to do. Yeah. Reason being that, actually, if they had reported it accurately that it was on one screen for one day, then that's not a surprising... And it was only put on to unlock a TV deal with no promotion, then that doesn't... It's not surprising. That's... But they made out like it was a 10,000 screen release and only made like £14.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. So no. I don't think that's fair that it happened to Shia LaBeouf and that it's news and these guys should find actual better fucking news to report on.
Yeah. But I wonder if that is a... Well, they were saying that maybe that was a record. But then they also did put a list of loads of films that made less than £100 in the opening.
Yeah, but there's caveat. There might that's be reasons happened. For that.
Yeah, yeah.
So but I'm glad you brought it up. And I want people to know that things are not always what they seem and that's lazy reporting.
Because it did seem a bit crazy. £7. Make £7?
Yeah.
Which, but then also I was like, wait, it costs £7 to go to the cinema in Burnley? Come on, London.
I know, man. I'm getting up there.
Let's go to the cinema in Burnley, everybody.
Okay.
Okay. We've nearly got our first guest on the show. Woo! So we're going to go back to our 90s songs here. Let's go for... which one should we do? Let's go for It's Alright by Sister.
Do it.
Back row and chill.
Welcome back. It's alright. It's okay to play this guy. Mr. DJ, don't mean to sweat you down. It's alright. and chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
What a tune.
Okay, so I've got two out of ten.
Two out of two so far.
Two for
two. Yes. Craig Mack, man. Do you remember Craig Mack?
No.
No, too young. Do you remember Craig Mack?
I don't even know that song either.
I'm leaving. Why am I here? These people don't know their old hip hop. Come on.
Craig Mack is a rapper.
Was.
He's not alive anymore.
Do you know what? I think he probably still is, but I don't think he raps anymore.
Okay. He's not like live on the scene.
Okay, I see.
He was like in the Biggie days and all that, you know.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Guys, we have got our first guest in the studio.
Welcome.
Woo! Kaiser Dean, welcome.
Kaiser Dean. Expensive shit up in this motherfucker. All right. Talk to us. Tell us.
Because you're here from Soho.
Soho Theatre.
Yes.
Soho Theatre. Our show is currently running. We opened on Tuesday and Wednesday night we had our press night, and we'll be at Soho till the 22nd of April. So come and see us. Yeah.
Oh, a nice amount of time.
Fantastic. And the show is actually called Expensive Shit.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's kind of from Fela Kuti's experience when he was in prison.
Yeah.
And how do I make sense of it?
Well, tell us what the show is actually about. Tell the listeners what the show's about.
The show is about a toilet attendant who goes from her current world, which is in Glasgow in the toilets,
played
ladies
by
nightclub, played by myself.
The wonderful
Tolu.
Yes, I knew that. I was just getting you to say it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Please help me. So it has flashbacks of her when she was younger in Lagos, Nigeria. When she had ambitions of becoming a dancer and to get onto Fela Kuti's band. So she and her girlfriends will practice in the toilets, the routine, anything and everything, just so he can notice them and maybe go on tours with them and come out of their slum, their village. Basically, it was a way of escaping their reality.
Sure.
And my character Tolu, she's really in it for escaping her reality and making something of herself, and it just happens. And some other girls have some other motives, whether they want to be part of his girlfriend or his wife, or some don't want to be any of that. They just want to escape too, but they might be pretty and he might see that and look them in different ways.
Different ways,
helping themselves instead of helping himself. But yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I find it really interesting. I mean, she must go on a journey if she was doing that job 20 years ago in Lagos, and then we start the play 20 years later in Glasgow, Scotland. I'm assuming there's a journey through there, but already for me, there's a sense of, without watching it, a sense of sadness that she's still kind of in the same job.
Yeah, it's really sad because the irony of having to practice in the toilets of dancing and how to make her big dream to come true, and then now working as a toilet attendant and being paid, being manipulated somewhat by men to allow her to make other girls so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because basically in the Glasgow toilets there are these two-way mirrors where men are paying her extra because the club doesn't pay her wages, so she gets an extra tip for men coming into the loos and looking at girls, and they tell her, make them pull their tops down, wear more lipstick. Basically, they're just prying to see who they want to go and grab on the dance floor.
Hold on a second. There's two-way mirrors in Glasgow toilets.
Yeah, and this actually really did happen.
In all Glasgow toilets?
Not in all Glasgow toilets. In this particular shimmy club in Glasgow.
This is terrible. I need to investigate this. What's the name of this club?
Our club is fictional, but it's based,
on a real-life shimmy club
in Glasgow.
Shimmy club in Glasgow.
I don't think it's no longer called the shimmy.
I'm joking. I wouldn't go down there, but I mean, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, as a concept, immediately gets my attention. I'm interested because everyone's been to a club toilets, and to make a lead character of a play be the toilet attendant, which normally is the person in sort of the background of
the
your
least
night.
That you talk to,
and you bring them forward, which is so interesting. And also, I think that they should do a show. You know, like 24 hours in A&E. They should do like 2 hours in the club loser, ladies lose, because it's brilliant. The stuff that goes on, the drama.
You're right.
People are having sex. Fights. Best friends are made. It's been amazing. I mean, I overheard some girl the other day and she was just like, yes, I've one of those nights. You know, you think you're going out and you don't expect it. By the end of the night, you're being fingered up the bum. I was like, whoa. What's going on in your life? Yeah, it's like really random night out, isn't it? I was like,
and it's getting kind of complicated and loose now, because I have to literally stand and, because, you know, multiple genders and transgenders, so everyone sort of can use the same loo now. So I'm
I can't
remember off the top of my head, but I know I've experienced some loos where it's like actually Soho Theatre.
It's just like unisex loos.
Well, I will tell you quickly. No, you go ahead.
And I get kind of scared about that. I have to like peep through first. Like if a man's there, like, I'll wait for him to finish and then I'll go. But then it's a bit weird not knowing where you're going to come out of the loo, the cubicle.
I always walk in the wrong one. It always at like on the motorway, because I'm tired of driving. I'm not thinking. I just walk in, and I normally, it's quite late, and I get there. I'm like, I sit down. I'm like, there's urinal in front of me. I'm like,
okay,
not for me, is it?
Yeah, but you know, some places, I mean, they're going to have to start having more than two toilets. It's going to have to be, you know, cis male, cis female, hetero, trans, hobo. Like, it's going to have to be like eight different.
I wish it was that instead of anybody can go, because just, you know, you get those random people who can be a bit scary.
I would tell you, other genders. It's strange. I would tell you, Supper Club in Amsterdam.
Supper Club,
So I was in Supper Club in Amsterdam, and I go downstairs to the toilet, and firstly, there's two big things, and one does say men and one does say women, but I look in the women's one and there's almost like a big island in the middle where people are sitting and talking, and like everyone's in there, and I'm like looking at this, I look at the sign, look down, hold on, that there's men and women, or maybe they are, I don't know. Then I look at the men's one, same sort of thing. I'm like, all right, but I go in the men's one. So I go to the urinals or whatever they're called, where you're there, and there's a row of cubicles right there. So I'm standing sort of perpendicular or parallel to the cubicles, and I'm just taking the mister out, and I'm peeing, and I'm just minding my own business.
My imagination, so I'm seeing everything.
Yeah, you're seeing it, right? So I'm there, and the doors are tomorrow. I'm a writer, right? The doors open, and girls come out. Girls come out of the cubicles. And the toilet was, it didn't really matter about the signs. You could just use
any.
And about three girls came out of the cubicles, and I was just standing there, and they, you know, two of them just went, oh, and one of them had a little look, and then
one of them put you on Twitter.
So did you just hurry and finish and put it away?
I can't hurry this girl. Like, you just got to do what
you're
doing.
Once you're mid-flow, mid-flow.
I can't hurry, man. So, I was like, I went upstairs quite shocked.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm a bit shocked by that. You know what I mean? And then my friend was like, I find it quite sexy. And I was like, well, that's you, bruv. But not me. I was shocked by it. Yeah. Anyway, but
this play, it does sound really good.
Toilet attendants know about everything.
Yeah, they get the goss.
They hear everything. Yeah. It's funny, because after when I was in touring in Glasgow, I went to a few clubs after, just to, you know, end of tour, letting my hair down, and I literally saw my character. I saw.
Did you speak to them?
Yeah, I was like trying to do like, how are you alright? Like, one I couldn't speak to because it was just a bit too surreal for me. She could see, like, she had her own story, like her. I was like, this is probably what my note's been for my director. This is what, you know, that weight, that look she has. Like, she just wants the night to be over and done with, but yet she's got to do this pleasantry with me. Like,
and doesn't really want to look at you. Kind of looks up and then
looks
down.
Yeah, and I was like, and I was really trying to. The other lady, I was really trying to befriend her. She was more welcoming. Like, you look nice. And I was like, she's saying things I say in the actual. It was just mad. It was
techniques,
surreal.
Maybe techniques to get a bigger tip or and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you're never sure if they're sincere or. Exactly. It's interesting.
I never go to the loo with my purse anyway. I'm just literally leaving with my girlfriends, and I'm running in just to. But then now I'm so. If I'm going, I literally have to give something. I have to give some sort of change.
Yeah. Like, I think the men's guys are balling, because we always got our trousers, so there's always money in the pockets.
I didn't know that they had a men's version.
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't know that, would we? Because we don't really go in there.
Yeah. But there's a male version. Spray you a little aftershave if you want it.
So how they do their hustle then? Because, you know.
So you walk in. Yeah. You walk in. You go, as soon as you've, like, pee and then you wash your hands, bam, they're there with the hand towel.
Boss man.
Like, straight away. You're like. And they're just there, hand towel, and they dry their hands, and then they you know, sometimes even you'll put your hands by the water and they'll put soap. They'll squeeze the soap. You're like, all right, bro. Then you finish, you're like, boom, hand towel. Yeah. Then they're like, there's a selection of like aftershaves or whatnot that you can spray. Lollipop, mints, gum, sweets, whatever you want.
The same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing, but just boys.
But so interesting, because like Johanna said, I never thought about a play.
Yeah, bringing, I love that idea, bringing the sort of the smaller characters in the real world and putting them in the front. I love it. Turn it on its head. Brilliant. So if anyone does want to go and check it out, it's at Soho Theatre.
Yeah.
Expensive shit. It's on until Saturday the 22nd of April, so you've still got plenty of time to go see it.
Yes.
So go and check it out, people.
Yeah. Go and watch it. And Expensive Shit, Soho Theatre, which is on Dean Street in Soho. And I'm opposite there nearly every day.
Yeah.
Okay. I might come. You do matinees?
We're going to do a matinee on Saturday. Yes, you would do Saturday.
No, I'm not done on Saturday. That's my...
That's
my...
it's an hour, though. It's an hour and 3 minutes. So
do you get in early and do a little rehearsal thing? A little run-through?
Like, yeah, we used to in Glasgow tour do line-through, run-throughs, because it moves so fast. We have dance and we have singing.
I might come peeping and run-through. I'm only across the road in Soho House.
Yeah, come see us. We would love to have you.
Well, thank you so much for getting involved and coming down the show.
Thanks.
All the best of luck. Are you performing tonight?
Yes, I'm going.
Okay. Oh, wow. Go.
And get ready,
guys. Okay. Anyone who's not doing, you're about Soho, go to Soho Theatre tonight if it's not sold out and see Expensive Shit.
Okay, and just one more thing before I
go. Yes.
No, Clark, I think you're amazing. I thank you so much for Kidulthood. When I saw that movie when I was younger, it just like
made you want to work in a toilet.
No, not at all. Always wanted to act. I was in Identity at the time.
Wow.
But like, I wanted to take my craft that much more seriously, so I enrolled in drama school. Thank you for Kidulthood.
No problem. Amazing. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Mm. Cheers.
All right.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thank you so much.
See, people do like me, Johanna. It's only you that doesn't.
Well, apparently Lucy Patterson doesn't like me. I forgot she was from Essex.
And she's coming in.
She's like, Johanna, you are bang out of order.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks so much. What we got a track?
I have. Okay, this is I Can See Clearly Now by Jimmy Cliff. So this is Background Chill, and we got more guests coming up.
All right.
Gonna be a
sunshiny day.
It is pretty bright. I'll give you that one. It's that's three for three, I think, that
that's
track.
That's three for three.
That's not a bad, not a bad, not a bad song choice there.
It's a beautiful day. It is Friday. It's Back Row and Chill. We are with our second guest, so welcome very much into the studio. Woo! We've got Sean Williams and David Albury in the studio.
Yes, from the
The Life Musical.
The Life Musical, not play. Musical, The Life.
Welcome, guys.
What's up? How's it going?
Say hi.
Yeah, good,
hi,
man.
Hi, hi.
You're good.
We're good.
So this is a big Broadway musical that has now come to the UK, right?
Yes, it's the UK premiere. It was on Broadway 20 years ago.
What?
It's vintage musical.
Yeah, big time.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the musical.
Well, it centres around Queen, who's a country girl from Savannah, and she moved to New York with her boyfriend Fleetwood, which is David, and she has dreams and aspirations of a better life, and it doesn't quite work out how she plans it. She kind of gets herself like sucked into this life that she didn't agree to.
Isn't that everyone's life?
Oh, yeah. You know?
Well, not everyone gets sucked into the pimps and hoes culture of 1970s New York, which is kind of where this musical takes place. Yeah. Wow.
And you guys, being Queen and Fleetwood, are the leads, right?
Well, I mean, the wonderful thing about this show is there are no real kind of standout leads. There are certain characters that have a bit more dialogue, a couple more songs, but really everyone in this show has such a kind of rich character to explore with. Wow. I mean, there are some great characters. There's obviously Fleetwood and Queen, but then there's also Sonia, who's this kind of old pimp played by the incredible Sharon D. Clarke.
Yes.
And
I
she
feel
just
like I know Sharon.
Yeah, you would. You would know Sharon. Once you meet like Sharon, you don't forget Sharon.
I feel like I know Sharon.
And there's Cornell S. John, which you know.
Yes.
Cornell S. John. Where do I know that guy from?
Trevor!
Milica Gondrilla! I made him do that for me. Yeah. I made him do that for my friends, and my friends are listening now. So
how's he doing? How's he doing, Cornell?
Oh, man, the guy's, he's magnetic. He's a legend, he brings so much to the company.
That's great, man. That's fantastic he's doing that. I saw that, I'm so happy. And it's being directed by the original director, two-time Tony Award winner, Michael Blakemore.
Yeah.
So how is that to have the original guy coming back, to be that's almost like Mozart coming back to help someone
do the opera,
play one of his things.
How is it?
It's amazing. He said that he always wanted to take the show to London, and it's his baby. In the rehearsal room, you could really tell that he's such a gentleman, but he just really wanted to put it on its feet here, and it was so important to him. And he said he came alive watching it back here in this country, because that's all he wanted to do.
He said that 20 years ago that he was worried that the UK might not be ready for the sort of subject material. But now you're kind of looking back at it, it's sort of you're looking back at a spot of time, a piece of history, and it's kind of more accessible that way now. So that's why he feels now is the right time for it, and it seems to be the right time for him. We're pleased we're around at this time to be part of it.
Amazing.
As well.
And how is the directing process with him? Is he very sort of, is he open? You know, plays are, I guess, a bit different to films. There's not that much adaptation where you go different, but is he open to ideas and stuff like that, or is he very like, you're doing it like this and that's the end of it?
Yeah, there's a real kind of, it's a real open kind of atmosphere in the rehearsal room. He's quite old school. I know he wouldn't have a go at me for saying that. He's from that kind of that discipline where you know exactly what you want when you go into the room, so he's very particular about everything he wants, but he allows you to kind of discover that through your own kind of voice as well. But he knows where you want to go, he knows where you want to shape. So at first you're a little bit kind of unseated, you're not quite sure if you're nailing it, and then obviously you get into the space, you start running stuff, and you realise actually he's given you this entire framework to kind of populate your own ideas and intentions with, and that's a real brilliant thing. It's quite exciting to kind of come into the room that way and discover it kind of fresh every day.
He'll let you play, and his word is try it, try it. So you feel comfortable to you know, be creative with him, which is good.
You like a musical, right?
I love musicals. Yeah.
Ah, brilliant.
I love them.
Come see us.
Is there any are there any songs that people would recognise, or is it
My Body? It's like the anthem, especially for the women.
Yeah,
it's that anthem track that's like.
Give me a little throwdown of My Body. I can't remember that one.
Do it.
Push up.
Do it. On the spot. Literally, on the spot.
We ain't got enough time for it. Honestly.
well, got out of.
It's just basically
give
just
them
saying.
Give
it's,
them the hook.
In this world of like.
Give me the damn hook, girl.
My body is my business, and my business is my business.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah, I've heard that one.
I love that.
It's just saying it's
love
my
voice,
body.
Yeah, oh, cheers. Hey, if I'm nothing, you should come to see this show. I tell you, the voices in this show are off the charts.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
The charts. Yeah, everyone is so talented.
Yeah.
It's such a great score as well for people that have big voices, and it's great.
Cy Coleman, who did City of Angels, who did Sweet Charity. It's this wonderful kind of rich. There's even this section, it's a kind of just an interlude section between scenes in the second act where it almost takes on a reggae vibe, and you're thinking, this guy, where's he drawing on his influences from? Yeah, I mean, it's got everything for everyone. It's a huge score.
Fantastic.
It's on the Southwark Playhouse, in case you didn't mention that, for a whole month until the 29th of April. So that's the last Saturday of this month. Yeah. We're in April already. That's really scary. We are. I know.
Jeez.
We're in
time
April.
Flies.
Times. I'm like, what the? It was just New Year, and then now it's.
Mm-hmm.
April
already, yeah.
I know.
Surprising.
It's scarily, someone's like stealing the years or the months or whatever.
But you know, when you get over 18, the years just go. But when you were a kid, like summer was like the longest time. You're like, you thought like you were playing out forever until you heard your mum go, get home, and you'd run home. Now
catches you off guard.
You're blinking like it's Christmas. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Next Christmas.
That's why you've got to populate life with the sort of things you've got to do, like come and see the life.
That's
come
right.
See the life.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
You see that? It's a plug there. Smooth, seamless
plug
there.
You hear that, listeners? Great musical called The Life at the Southwark Playhouse from March 25th, which has gone, till April 29th. Please make sure you go and see it with this great cast. And of course, you'll get to see Uncle Curtis.
You love that. And just a little bit about how you got involved, like the audition process. Did you guys audition, or did you know people in the show? How did you hear about it and get involved?
Offers, straight offers.
Okay, so my agent just told me I had an audition for this show called The Life. I didn't know about it. I went in, sang some of the material, was like, wow, this is really, really good stuff. Mm. After two auditions, I met Tashan Williams.
Can we get some water in here, please, guys?
Thank you.
Yeah, and
we got some.
We met her on the second audition. I think it was your second audition as well, Tashan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you feel a chemistry with someone in the room, I kind of felt that, and we could tell,
like me and Jay.
Yeah, yeah, the natural kind of free flowing chemistry you guys clearly have.
I hate it.
Mask it well, man. You should be an actor.
I know. I thought about it. Like, people told me it's not going to work for me, so I gave up.
No, but it was. It felt really good. I liked the material, and when you get great material, it's a joy to audition for.
Yeah.
And fortunately. We were the first choices. We heard that everyone was actually the first choice that they got. It's
fantastic.
Kind of quite rare.
Was,
you get
was
that.
Going to tell you that anyway.
Well, it's true. That's what
they
I thought.
Don't, they don't
I'm joking.
Serious.
I'm joking. Come on, crushing our dreams here, man.
Yeah,
but no, and that's wonderful. And you can really see that because everyone inhabits their characters so well and is so spot on. And Tishan's a dream to play opposite.
Musical auditions. Have you had many musical auditions?
No, I don't really sing.
So my last musical audition.
I would love to. But, you did a musical audition.
No, well, interesting thing. Not that I could ever be good enough. Not that I could ever be remotely good enough, especially. And now I don't do them. I don't have to do them. I don't want to do them. But back in the days, I did a musical audition. And I got quite far around to nearly got a Godspell, right? But then I went for this other musical audition, and you had to prepare your music and go in there. So I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. My agent said, go in. So I go in there, and I'm singing Boys to Men, right? So I'm like, I'll make love to you.
Big tune.
Right?
Big
like
tune.
You want me to. Right? So I'm singing this thing. And I'll hold you to. And I'm trying to hit these notes that are just nigh on impossible for me to hit. So my eyes are closed. I'm like, all through the night. Right? I open one eye. And the fucking people are cracking up laughing. Like they're barely rolling. One of them's nearly off the chair. That's laughing their heads off. And I was like, came out of there. I was like, called my agent. I was like,
never.
Don't ever send me off for musical again.
Never again.
Yeah, never again.
Never
but,
again.
So that was my embarrassment at my last ever musical audition.
Well, you know what, man? Maybe the game's ready for you now.
No, I think like my voice is terrible.
It's so all right.
I should just stick to what I'm doing.
Don't worry. Yeah. Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast auto-tuned her to perfection.
Really? Ooh. Was she like...
Yeah, don't worry.
Hold on. We've got a question here from Lewis in Glasgow. So we'll go to for all of us.
Okay.
Would you guys ever go naked in a play? I really like the sound of this one being your show. I might have to take a trip to London from Lewis in Glasgow. Well, Lewis, firstly, do take a trip down from Glasgow and bring some friends, have a weekend up and see the life. But to the question, would you guys go naked in a play on stage?
Like
Freebird, full. No hiding behind leaves. Everything out.
I've always wanted to do hair, and there's a bit of nudity in that. And yes, with that kind of license, with a play like that, a musical like that, I should say, yes, I would.
So it depends on the content of it, but yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sir?
But you're lucky to get me with clothes on today, man. I walk around most of the time without clothes on. So, I mean, hey, like, if the material's
free,
good.
Feel
hey, you know what? I'm sure that vibe from here as well. Girls, it's like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Diana James.
I think, yeah, for the right role, and also I would definitely just want to have a chat with, like, the lighting guy.
Hide the cellulite.
Because as long as I was well lit.
Yes.
You could do something, like, you know, clever with that. Because I went to see Full Monty, the play, not the musical. There was a musical and then there was a touring play which I saw, and that was really good because they did go all off at the end, but the way that they lit it, you literally saw for like a second, but then you saw outline, and it was just like a really good way of being naked on stage. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Well, Lewis in Glasgow, I have done it. Yes.
You got everything out.
Everything out.
What was that for?
A play called Talking About Men, was at the Oval House, and then toured like Liverpool, Liverpool, Leeds, Huddersfield, Nottingham, blah, blah, blah. And it was a play set in saunas, and there was like about five or six cast, all men, and we had to go naked. So everything, willy out, everything, full on the stage. And some of the venues was like big, like about the size of the studio. So you're like, them front row girls are like,
they're seeing everything.
Intimate.
What you ate for dinner last night?
You know, they could do the braille if they wanted to. They could be like, braille. You know what I mean? And in some places it was like that. In London, fine. You know, in London, no one batted an eyelid. Everyone was kind of like, you know. Then you go Manchester, it's fine. Then you go, when you go Nottingham and then the men get naked, you hear, come and get out of here. Let's bomb a clock this down. That's all you heard. And when you went to Huddersfield, it was like, yeah, get your cock out. Like, it was different audiences. Brilliant. Huddersfield girls were reaching for it. Do you know what I mean? I was like, do you not get theatre up here or what? Like, it's unbelievable. Oh, but yeah, so God. I've done it. Lewis in Glasgow. You missed it.
Brilliant.
And it was before, luckily for me, it was before the, well, you know, not luckily. Well,
hey. I was going to say before.
It was before the time of
smartphones
that could cameras. Record.
Yeah, because I was thinking someone somewhere must have a picture of
there
Noel
might
Clark
be a
stage
picture.
Willy.
Hey, if you guys have a picture of my penis from the play Talking About Men from the tour, please do send it in.
Tweet it,
put it on Twitter.
At Fubar Radio.
I'm proud of my shit, so I don't care. Put it out there. You know what I mean?
Represent.
Represent.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so
thank
much,
you, man.
Guys.
This the
is,
life.
This is cool. I feel like I should have got some like 70s stuff prepared, but we're in 90s music today. We're going back to 90s movie hits, but.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Never thanks for having us.
Guys, go see The Life, Southwark Playhouse, from March 25th to April 29th with the wonderful David and Tashan.
Yes.
Tashan. Boom. Go Boom. See it.
Plain Queen.
And Uncle Curtis.
Man. Look at the sky. Oh, stars. Man, stars are beautiful tonight.
Look at
ways and mean, the supreme dream team, always up with a scheme, from Hellcap to selling raps, name your theme, mirage to the top, floating on the screen, who the hell wanna stop me, I hated those who doubt me, a million refugees with unlimited warranties, Black Caesar, dating top divas, diplomat immunities, no time for a visa, it just begun, I'ma shoot them one by one, got 5 sides to me, something like a pentagon, strike with the forces of King Solomon, letting bygone be bygone, and so on and so on, I'ma teach these cats how to live in the ghetto, keeping it retro, expected from the get-go. Lay low, let my mind shine like a halo. For politics with ghetto senators on the D-Lo. In the Senate or behind closed doors, hitting truth to the sea floor. The rich don't north, ignore the tug of war. While the kids are poor, open new and better drugstores. So I became hardcore, couldn't take it no more. I'ma reveal everything, change the law. I find myself walking the streets, trying to find what's really going on in the streets.
Now every dog got a stage,
needless to say. When the chief away, that's when the cats wanna play. I told you, dance around you fools like Cassius Clay. Stretch my heat and make you do a pot of parade. Kick your balls like Pele, think I'm doing ballet. Peak like Dante, broader than Broadway. Get applause like a matador, cry yelling ole. Who the hell wanna see me from BK to Calais?
Come on,
when you thought it was safe in a common place. Showcase your finances, lose a bass on the horse race. Two phase, getting D-phase out like Scarface. For your roll money, let me put on my screw face.
And I'm paranoid at the things I say, wondering what's the penalty from day to day. I'm hanging out, partying with girls that never die. The CEO's picking on the small fries, my campaign telling lies. I was just spreading my love, didn't know my love was the one holding the gun in the glove. Well, it's all good, as long as it's understood. It's all together now in the hood.
So, oh, that cut out pretty quickly.
What
there was
a tune. A bit of a dead cut off there, Jay.
That wasn't
You're
my fault.
You're not a DJ, are you?
The music just went boom.
But
I should have done a link.
What a tune. What should've a tune. Should have done a link.
Yeah. Never
I would
mind.
Do it if I even knew how to work the buttons. But you know what? I've enjoyed mostly sitting here for the months that we're doing this.
I know.
Not learning fuck all.
I drive the car yeah. here.
Just sitting here and going, press the button.
Press the button. Right. We've got our next guest in the studio. So, well, a huge Woo. Welcome to you, Abraham. Do you want to just introduce yourself?
How's it going?
We're good. Friday afternoon. And how are you, yourself?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Oh, you're
doing well, aren't you?
You're doing
yeah.
Rising star of 2017
yeah, yeah.
and all that malarkey.
Yeah,
I was one of those many years ago. They were so wrong, obviously, clearly. What are you laughing at?
Just, you know.
No, great. So tell us, you are in the new Sky One or Atlantic?
Atlantic.
Atlantic, the
yeah.
big channel.
Yeah,
Sky
yeah, yeah.
Atlantic show, Gorilla.
Yes.
Now, before anyone gets disappointed, like I was, I just have to tell you guys out there, the show is unfortunately not about gorillas.
No.
Or any sort of zoo animal. But, Abraham, please tell us what it is about.
It's about, the story kind of follows a couple, an Asian woman and a black man, who are drawn into radical activism in 1971. And it's a kind of what if... the British Black Power movement
really took off. Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it did take off, and I think there are a lot of stories that haven't been told.
Sure.
And John Ridley's shining a light on them.
Yeah.
But this is fictional, but with the background of sort of
yeah, history, background yeah. of the real history of
yeah,
things
yeah,
that
yeah.
happened. Now, this might surprise a lot of people. You are neither an Asian woman or a black man.
No.
So, what part? What wonderful part do you play?
So, the two guys, the couple are sort of hunted by a character played by Rory Kinnear,
yep.
who is
great
an
actor.
Amazing actor.
His dad was great too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Who is the head of what was called the Black Power Desk?
Yeah,
and this is a real desk that the Special Branch Police had to deal with black activism.
Yeah,
and
wow.
They got police who were sort of brutalised in what was then Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and took them to London to deal with black power activism. So
wow.
you can see where their bias lay.
Yeah, where their mind was and all that kind of stuff.
And I play his son, and Rory's character is caught up in a whole lot of shit, basically.
Yeah.
John Ridley's so great because he kind of... someone looks really nasty and looks like they do really horrible things, and then yeah. he shows you their life.
Shows you why they might behave
yeah.
the way they behave.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that. Why are monsters? Why do people
yeah.
become monsters?
Yeah.
And that kind of
you
thing.
You know, it's kind of like,
you know, yeah, when you watch a film and someone's doing something, then you think, oh my God, they're horrible. But then when you watch their life, you kind of understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe might not agree with what they do, but you might kind of understand a little bit where they're
coming
from.
There's a quote somewhere that, like, if you really know someone, you'll love them. Because you know exactly why
they behave the way they behave. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that quote. There's a few people I just think, I'm just not going to like them, no matter what. Do you know what I mean? So that's great, man. And did you, when did you shoot that? And are you looking forward to the release? You must be looking forward to it.
We finished November, I think. Yeah. Late November.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I've done a film and the turnaround on that still hasn't come out. We shot that like a year and a half ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
So the turnaround on this has been quite quick.
Well,
so
Sky it's been nice. We'll get onto that film in a minute. Yeah. And one other thing, people might not know, guys that are listening to this wonderful show, Gorilla, about, you know, this black activism in 1971, fictional story, and it's Frida Pinto, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Frida Pinto, isn't it? What, guys, also you should know, which might help you, not that you should watch it just for this, but the executive producer and one of the actors, of course, is Mr. Idris Elba. So this show has a good pedigree. Abraham obviously is a fast up and comer, so you guys should definitely check this out. So tell us now also, you know, we're going to try and tune into that show. Tell us about your film that's coming out.
Oh, so this is it's called How to Talk to Girls at Parties.
Yeah.
And
are you good at that? Are you?
No, I'm terrible.
I don't
still
believe
haven't
that.
Learned.
I don't believe that. It's good. You don't need to do anything. Just stand in the corner and look pretty. They'll come to you.
Pose.
Yeah.
There's a writer called Neil Gaiman who's like a fantasy writer.
American Gods.
Yeah, so great. And he wrote this short story about two teenage boys going to a house party and meeting aliens in 1977.
Wow.
And the director called John Cameron Mitchell has taken this short story and blown it up. And it's now three boys and a lot of aliens. And Nicole Kidman.
Wow.
And it's a crazy, crazy story, but I think absolutely brilliant.
And you're
and
one
really
of the
brave.
One of the leads in it.
Yeah, I'm sort of the short story follows two boys.
Yeah.
One sort of quiet, one more loud, and the film has made it three. So I'm kind of the loud one. I bring them into the party and
And
get everyone going.
Fantastic. And that shot in America?
That was shot over here. It's set in Croydon. I don't know what, but New York, sort of New York artists talking about Croydon and stories from Croydon. I think it's brilliant. But they came over and shot.
Well, that sounds great, man.
Yeah. Representing South London.
Yeah, man.
And so when can we see Gorilla? When does Gorilla start?
Gorilla comes out on Thursday next
13th,
week, I think.
April
13th. Yeah.
April 13th.
And I think all six episodes are coming out at the same time.
Oh, Sky's busting their neck.
Yeah.
So great. You can binge it all the way through. Love that.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. And so what else have you got? Have you got anything else planned in the sort of the pipeline?
I'm trying to write a film at the moment.
Oh, that's what I love
to
hear. I'm
trying
to
do
my
friend.
That's what I love to hear, mate. Do it. I'm telling you, man, it's the way forward. Because sometimes, you know what it's like, man. We all know what it's like. We're actors. Sometimes the phone doesn't stop ringing, you love it. And then one day you're like, hold on, what's happening here? And the best thing to do is just create your own stuff, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I've sort of watched a film called The Lobster and a film called Her.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
And I saw Lobster, I saw Her. I love her.
Really weird romantic stories set in a kind of future world that's not too far from our own, but still a little bit different. And yeah, me and my friend are trying to do something.
I love that. Well, you need a producer. You send that to me, man.
I'll
give you my card afterwards. We'll see if we can help you out with that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries, man. I love what you're doing, mate. I think you're doing fantastic. We look forward to watching you in Gorilla.
Thanks very much.
I look forward to watching you in How to Talk to Girls at Parties. By the way, I was an expert at that when I was younger. When I was younger, just so you're aware.
What would you say? Go on.
I'm not going to do it now. I don't want you. Listen, you've got a boyfriend.
I'm a girl.
I don't want you to leave him. If I start putting the music on you, it's that powerful.
Really?
It's that powerful.
Okay.
It is that powerful. If I started putting them old school moves on you,
I'm trying to think of
you would be leaving the dude. So, I'm cool with you, man. Like, you know that. Like, me and you get on. Like, I ain't see you too often. Like, we're cool. But she's my friend. I've known her for years, even before you. If I put the moves on her, bro, it's over. So I'm just not going to do it.
Okay, I'll stay safe over the picket line here.
Yeah, just stay right there. And whoa, stay. And plus, there's ladies out here too. They all start pouring into the room and it's stuff like.
You
yeah.
should do. You should get a podcast and charge for it.
No, no, no.
You
know what I mean? It's best to keep it under wraps, man.
Okay, just keep it a secret.
But my friend, like, yeah,
pass it on to your
I know
sons.
You got a gift. I know you got that gift, man. Just the look of you, you got that gift, man. Ladies, listen, and this guy is a dude.
I'm so bad at like small talk and chatting people up, and I'll just be at a party like, so do you like cheese?
She's great. She's a life of the party. Johanna's a life of the party, and when people are out, she's always, you know, has a lot of fun and stuff like that. Anyway, Gorilla.
Yes, Gorilla, Sky Atlantic. Oh, that's the big. That is the biggest Sky channel that you could possibly. That's the top. That's the king of Sky.
That's like the HBO.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the one because they do well. They try to do 50% English and American, but it always ends up being more American. So fantastic. There's like an English one on there.
Yeah. It's going to be great, man. All right, man. Well, we look forward to seeing you tonight. Look forward to your movie and good luck with everything else you're getting up to, man.
Yeah. Thank you so
for
much.
For the rest of the year, boom. Right, we're doing.
Thanks
like,
for coming in.
We're doing 90s movie hits, movie songs, and this is it's a Prince song. You very correctly pointed out, but it was covered by Quindin Tarver in Romeo and Juliet in 1996.
Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet.
Baz Luhrmann, oh, that was one of my favourite films. I love that.
Before my time, that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm younger than you.
Oh, yeah. You don't look it. Oh, I'm so shit at comebacks. It's awful. Anyway, it's one of my favourite songs from the movie. I love it. It's Back Row and Jill. How can you leave me standing alone? Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father too old. Maybe I'm just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? Joined in the studio by Joshua Maguire.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
I weirdly saw your face this morning before I met you.
Oh.
You're all over the tube right now.
I'm very sorry.
No,
did
it's
I
great.
Ruin your morning?
No, I went, oh, that's weird. I'm on the way to see him right now. And there he is, right there. Because you are in a play at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At the Old Vic.
Yeah, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead at the Old Vic. And we're about halfway through our run at the moment. And it's going really well. Yeah.
And how many are in your cast?
There's 16 in the cast.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's quite a big cast. And so it's myself and Dan Radcliffe and David Haig, who is part of my childhood because of Four Weddings and a Funeral, which I was just obsessed with. So there's 16 of us. So for a play that quite a lot of people think is just about two people, there's 14 more people than people expect.
Yeah, I thought it was a two-hander. Yeah. I was just going by the poster.
Yeah, exactly.
that's all right.
Yeah. You
educated me. And that's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
That's the one, yeah.
That's a weird title. So yeah. What's that about? Because I literally have no idea.
Well, so Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are two supporting characters from Shakespeare's play Hamlet. And Tom Stoppard, 50 years ago when he wrote the play, took the two supporting characters from Hamlet and made them the main characters in his own play. And it kind of takes place, if you imagine that the play Hamlet is taking place in the wings.
Okay.
But our play is taking place on stage. So every now and then Shakespeare's play does come on stage and Hamlet comes on stage and speaks Shakespeare. But as soon as everyone else disappears, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern start talking in modern day language. And it's a kind of a comedy about, I mean, on one level, it's a comedy that would just hopefully make you laugh on a basic level. But also, if you take it up to its many layers, it's because it's by Tom Stoppard, it's about death and identity and existentialism and metaphysics and all of that kind of stuff. So, it's a pretty kind of out there thing, especially for a play that's, you know, it's 50th anniversary. And what, annoyingly, he was 29 when he wrote it, which is my age, which is really annoys
me. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, and I mean, at the Old Vic, so I'm trying to encourage, because I hope that a next generation of people are going to be more open to, more excited about going to the theatre.
Definitely.
And I think that this is really good for drawing in, because obviously
with Dan
especially,
absolutely,
he'll draw a crowd, because does he like to be called Dan rather than Daniel?
Yes, I guess so.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're saying Dan. I'm saying it too, like I know him. Dan.
Well, that's what's so great about it, because it's a 50 year old play that people of Dan's kind of fan based generation who grew up with Harry Potter most likely won't have heard of. And if they've heard of it, they certainly won't have read it. I hadn't read it before we started doing it. So what an amazing opportunity to get people who will have never heard of that, maybe might not have even heard of Tom Stoppard, to come and see a play that they normally wouldn't have seen. Mm-hmm. So that's what's so great about having Dan in it, because once they're through the door, they're there and they're going to watch it. So, and hopefully will enjoy it, and it will open them up to not only theatre, as you say, but also Tom's work, and it can show them that, well, even if they thought this, you know, theatre is for everyone.
It is. It really is. There's something about the live.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like, and I always like to ask, because I'm an actress as well, and I always like to know what's gone wrong, because with live shows there is just so much opportunity. What's gone wrong, and have you fixed it?
Well, the dialogue is quite fast paced and quite kind of. Between me and Dan, sometimes it just goes at an absolute pace. And there's this one bit in particular that a couple of times we've gone off the tracks and we've had to kind of put ourselves back on. And luckily, Dan and I have each other's backs in that sense. But you just see panic in each other's eyes suddenly appear. But thankfully, because we know it so well, as one would hope, because we're halfway through the run, we can get ourselves back on the tracks. Mm-hmm. I mean, last night, I mean, there's lots of, because Tom's quite a, I mean, he's an incredible writer, and his work's quite tricksy in the sense that in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, anyway, there's quite a lot of repetition, but repetitions with slight changes.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Exactly.
You're like, wait, are we on page 3 or on page 29? I don't know.
Exactly, and that kind of happened last night. And panic appeared in my eyes.
Okay.
And Dan got us back on track, thank God. But it's, you know, the language is modern day, but it's just as Tom plays with language a lot. And actually, English is technically Tom's second language, because he's Czech. Mm-hmm. And he came over to England when he was younger. So it's quite interesting to do a play by someone who English is their second language, because there's such, the playfulness in the language is so evident. So if we do go wrong, you have to make up stuff in Stoppardian language, which is not the easiest thing, I can tell you.
Well, at least
it's
not Shakespearean.
Well, exactly, yeah. I'd say it's a step down.
There was a girl at my uni, my drama school, we were doing Shakespeare monologue performances, and she just dried at the top of it, at the very top.
Oh, no.
And I had no idea, because she was doing a monologue from a Shakespeare play that I didn't know. I think it was Antony and Cleopatra, and I didn't know it. So she literally made up on the spot, a Shakespeare monologue. Wow. And she was like dancing around the stage and you know, giving it. She gave it like 10 out of 10. And hey, afterwards, mate. I was like,
oh, great.
And everyone else was sort of like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, she was great. I was like, that wasn't Shakespeare. I was like, was it not? Okay, well, it was good. But yeah, I think I would, drawing in any play, you could save a ball, probably apart from Shakespeare for me.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, apparently there's an old actor's tale that if you forget your lines in Shakespeare, you turn to someone and say, come to the market and I'll tell you all. And then you walk off.
I've heard you say, and therein lies the end. And then look at someone else and then
who's
walk
next
off.
Line? Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, between me and you, we'd be able to like end the play and get
good,
off.
Yeah. It'd be a short play, but it'd be good.
So how did you get involved with the play? Did you audition? Was there an audition process?
So August last year, my agent said, do I want to go and speak to or meet Tom Stoppard? And I said yes, obviously.
Hell yeah.
So we went and had a chat and the director was there and we read some of the play. And then I went back again and I met them. But these were kind of like 3-hour sessions.
Wow.
In a room in some like kind of legend, like, you know, you hear about those members clubs in Soho, like not the new ones, like the proper old ones with oak paneled walls. It was like that.
If anyone just tuned in right now, they'll be like, what? There was a 3-hour session in Soho.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. At a members club.
Kinky.
Yeah, exactly. Sadly, it wasn't kinky. Or maybe not sadly. But it was, so that was good. And then it went kind of quiet. And then they were looking for someone to kind of play the other role, and then I got a call saying they think they might have found someone, and actually Dan and I have worked together before. I worked with him on a TV show he did called Young Doctor's Notebook.
Yes,
and so we already knew each other, and he came to see a play I did, and I went to see a play he did, and then I did a play at the Donmar Warehouse called Privacy, which was a new play, and then that play about a year later, 2 years later, went to New York off Broadway, and Dan played my part, and I was called by the director of that play, and she said, "Oh, we're going to do it in America, and we think we've got someone to play your part." And I just said, "It's not Dan, is it?" She said, "Yes," and so Dan and I's careers, the multi-billion-dollar Wizard franchise aside, have kind of dovetailed and
but
stuff like that.
It's
yeah,
pretty
exactly.
much
yeah.
Mark
and
for Mark.
And so when they called and said they might have found someone, again, I said, it's not Dan, is it? And they said, yes. And so we went to New York for 2 days and did a reading for our director. You know, we were essentially in New York for an hour and 15-minute meeting, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
So I kind of walked around New York jet lagged and not really knowing what time of day it was, and then it was all set and then it was announced, so yeah, that's kind of how it works. So we had since September we've known we were doing it, which is kind of good to get on top of the lines early because there's quite a few.
Yeah, you want to get them in. And just with your so you've done lots of other stuff like before this play. Have you got any really awful or funny audition stories?
You know what?
I feel lucky.
Yeah, I don't really have any horror stories. I mean,
you're in like the 1%.
I know. I don't have any horror stories really. I mean, and I've never even, bar maybe one, met any complete and utter, I don't know what I'm allowed to say, but like,
oh, you can swear on Fubar.
And utter arseholes. I've never met any apart from one. He was a complete arsehole. But
just
the one. So no, I'm really lucky. I know that's so boring, but I don't have any embarrassing audition stories actually.
Well, I turned up to an audition once and I lied and said that I could do martial arts.
Oh, classic.
So yeah, those are the kind of situations.
Did you get it?
I did actually.
Oh well, there you go.
But he said because I didn't panic when I didn't know it.
Quite right.
I mean, obviously I did panic, but I obviously acted very well that I didn't.
That's brilliant.
It's all about saving.
Yeah.
Saving those moments.
Exactly. I bet that wasn't your fault either. But they.
No, I think it was an agent to an agent thing that got. It wasn't my fault.
Not
but,
your fault.
You know, I'm like, damn it! But it's always they're my favourite things for about. I love the behind the scenes of how people got the roles, or who nearly. Have you ever got any, had any like near miss roles where you've nearly got cast in something?
Oh God, I mean, who hasn't?
And you end up watching it like.
There's some. I think there's a really unhealthy attitude from actors when they go, "Oh, that person got my role. It's not your role. You didn't get it. So stop complaining. They got it. It's their role.
They got their role.
Yeah, I just can't. Oh God. They got my role, not your role.
Not your
role,
people.
It really annoys me. Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to chill out. Otherwise, you'll never survive in this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but I love the... And I think the stories, it's like... there's always those actors who nearly got this role, nearly got that role, nearly got that role.
Exactly.
And then they got, like, Superman.
Of course.
And it's like, boom. I think that's what actually happened to Superman.
Yeah, there's so many stories.
He missed out
like
on... Henry Cavill missed out on, like, the top so many.
Right, yeah,
and then
eventually
he landed Superman. And it was like, well, that's the reason why you didn't get that one.
Exactly, yeah.
Everyone pops at different times.
Exactly, 100%, yeah.
So what would be your dream in the future? What would be like your dream iconic kind of the role? Would you like to play a Hamlet or a Macbeth? Or?
Well, I did Hamlet at the Globe, so I feel tick that one off. But I was never... I never have... I read an interview with someone once where they said they were better... They would all... At school, they'd like to be told the title of their essay rather than make up the title of their own essay and write that. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite bad at knowing... I like it when people tell me. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you want to play this person? You go, oh, sure. I don't really have any... maybe it hasn't been written yet.
Okay.
But I can know the vibe. Like, I know I'd like it to be... I find new writing... More exciting than stuff like that, because you're putting your stamp on it, you know. I did a play. My first ever job was a play called Posh, which was at the Royal Court.
And well, that's just about to come on again.
With all female, just next door. So, and that was all, well, it was just a group of lads around a table at an Oxford dining club. And that was amazing because we originated those roles. And when you do a new piece of writing, your involvement with the writer is so... crucial that you have a hand in creating those characters, and that's what's amazing when you go and if you buy, you know, play texts, at the front of the play text it says this production was first produced in so and so, and these, and then if you look down the cast list it can be, you know, an amazing array of names. So that kind of stuff would definitely be my favorite to do.
And do you sway more towards like comedy or drama?
I'd say if it's probably not necessarily taste wise but what I end up doing is probably comedic. But I love mixing up. Someone asked me the other day, said to me the other day, that the characters I play on TV tend to be nice and stupid, and the characters I play on stage tend to be horrible and clever.
That's really...
I don't know what that says about if a camera's closer to my face, maybe I look nicer close up.
Yeah.
And I can look...
On stage,
I don't
like,
know.
Oh.
What does that say about me?
That's a very confusing CV there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, on the two sides of my life. Would you ever think about directing or going into another side of it? Or are you firmly on the performer?
I don't know, really. Maybe. Yeah. I think as you grow up and you have more and more experience of it, you think, oh, maybe that would be something I'd like to do. But at the pressure, I think, of directing or something like that, I mean... At least as an actor, you've got one thing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a director, you've got multiple things to worry about, especially on a film set. I know Dan, I think. Dan's very keen on, at some point, directing or something like that. But he's grown up on a film set. He will know a film set inside out.
He'll
know
that for sure.
Yeah, exactly, and how it works and what does work and what doesn't work. But at the moment, I'm very happy where I am.
Yeah. And would you ever like to do a big... Hollywood franchise like a Harry Potter style?
Yeah, why not?
Epic.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I love those. The Harry Potter films are great.
Oh, it's my happy place.
Yeah,
and I am one of those people. I'm going to say I have a tattoo
of Harry Potter.
Not of him. Not of him. That's weird.
What do you have?
I have it's kind of like a secret members club thing. So I've got a tattoo on my leg, which I asked the tattoo guy to hide the Deathly Hallows in like a geometric design within the tattoo. So people look at it, they don't know. But if you're a Harry Potter fan, I've had so many people go, Is that Natalie Hannah?
So you're a big Potter nut, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I love that. I auditioned for the movies.
Did you? Got
a call back for Luna and I was like so happy.
You'd have been great.
And didn't get it, but anyway, wasn't my role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it was just, I was the same age. I think I'm exactly the same age as Dan, bar a few days.
Yeah, 27?
So I grew up literally the same age as everybody, read the books at the right age and stuff. I'm of that generation. I'll be like, my youngest sister's 15. She loves it, but I'm like, girl, you're like,
yeah, it's interesting.
You're just catching up.
I know. I wonder because it's weird to think of a generation now that aren't living Harry Potter as it's going.
As it came out, didn't get to go to the cinema.
I know, like 10-year-olds, are they into Harry Potter?
They are. Right? Like the younger generation are, but I was like, no, you don't understand what it was like at school. When that Harry Potter book dropped, nobody talked.
I remember, and people used to read it overnight.
You would be there and everyone would be having this like massive race. Nobody would be doing anything.
Yeah.
And if you gave out a spoiler,
I remember the big thing was who was the initials from the locket. Something big,
yeah.
And it was someone black, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was serious
RB.
Black. So yeah, RB, that's it. And everyone was talking about that.
I'm like, who's it gonna be?
But they're great for. Dan says apparently he hears that there. Lots of people tell him they're brilliant to watch hungover.
I think so.
Yeah, like on a Sunday, just whack on.
I think yeah, and you kind of anyone works. Yeah. Any order.
They get better as they go on, right?
My favourite is number 6.
What's that one?
The Half Blood Prince.
Ah, okay.
It's
cool.
My favourite one.
Great.
Yeah. I didn't want to go on to Harry Potter because I really wanted this to be about you, but we just ended up fangirling over Harry Potter. That's amazing. So just to recap, if anyone's just joined us, we are talking about the new play that's on at the Old Vic at the moment, and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are... That's hard to... That's a tongue twister.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Are dead.
There you go.
They are dead people.
That is a line from Hamlet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's all falling into place now.
Yeah.
God, you can't say that hungover though, can you?
No, absolutely.
That block.
All drunk.
We're speaking to Joshua Maguire, and he's starring with Daniel Radcliffe in it at the moment. Until when? When does it end?
We've just been extended by a week, so we finish on the 6th of May. So hopefully there's more ticket availability.
Yeah, okay.
Than there were.
So you can go and check that out at the Old Vic, not the Young Vic. We're going for the Vintage Vic.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right now. brilliant. Well, thank you so much, and all the best of luck. And you've got to go off today because you've got to go and do your preparations.
Well, yeah. It takes
lunges,
me at least 8 hours.
Vocal things.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Whatever you guys do to get ready.
Yeah, exactly. That.
I think you guys should do like a Facebook Live before you go on. Can you imagine?
Yeah, God, it would be so boring. I think we just sit and talk.
I think the weirdest, for people who don't know about actors' warm-ups,
yeah,
if
good.
You walk in on that, I mean, that's weirder than walking in on people like having sex or something. It's very weird.
Right,
you get used to it in drama school, walking in the morning, like, morning, and someone's just like doing splits up the wall, being like, mum, mum, mum.
And it becomes very natural for guys to walk around in their leggings. That's what I found.
And suddenly you're on the tube in your leggings, like, hold on.
Yeah.
I've missed the mark.
I saw someone the other day near Baron's Court, which is where Lambda is, and they looked like a drama student, and then I saw he was wearing tracksuit bottoms. I was like, he's definitely a drama student. You just live in those for 3 years.
Yeah, I lived in black joggy bottoms and plimsolls for 3 years. Came out and went, what is colour? What is fashion? What? I'm in 2008. This is what? No, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And yeah, have a great rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Bye.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, we're back.
That was Joshua Maguire, who's
man,
doing a play.
Man, he can talk, man.
He can talk a lot, yeah.
That was like 15 minutes.
Well, it's interesting. He's doing a play with Daniel Radcliffe, so...
Look, all you got to do is go, yo, bro, you're in a play with Harry Potter. What's it like? Great. See you later. Bang. Done.
Is he really magic?
Yeah. I love that question.
But we've got other things on the theatre. That we should let people know
other
about.
Other things in the theatre. Wonderful things.
Do you like that?
And that is not a lie.
No. So we've got our final guest in the studio. We're going to be talking about All Things I Lied About. So if you'd like to introduce
Of course. I'm Katie Bonner.
Hi. Katie Bonner.
Just amazing to be here. Yeah.
Yes. And your show is called All the Things I Lied About.
Yeah, I love the fact you guys are reading that out accurately from a press release. And not like, because so many people have been like, it's like everything I ever, every lie I ever told.
Yeah.
Or like every lie in the world.
So tell me.
Yeah. All,
The play is called All the Things I Lied.
Yeah.
Is it really all the things you've lied about? Generally?
I would
genuinely,
say
or
it's...
are you lying right now?
I mean, that will be a spoiler, right? I told you that. But no, I mean, obviously, it's. I would say it's a. In the end, it is a summary of some of my worst lies.
That's a good place to start.
Connected to some of the biggest lies that are like around us in the world now. Yes. So I'm not. I mean, the title is All the Things I Lied About, but I'm talking about. I begin the show talking about Brexit and talking about Trump and talking about the lies that we're just like watching every day, and like laughing at, like, oh, isn't it ridiculous how he's getting away with telling all these crazy lies? And then, you know, this morning happened and this is where the world is now, you know. It's quite, when I made the show and I took it up to Edinburgh last year, of course the election hadn't, the American election hadn't happened. And I had this section.
Did you quickly change your material?
Rewritten it for Soho. Because before I was talking about the way that he... I talk a lot about gaslighting in the show as well, which if you haven't... Yeah, so basically it's in the press loads at the moment because of Trump. But basically it's like the act of manipulating somebody psychologically so they doubt their own sanity. So they doubt their own reality.
Wow.
So, and it happens loads in, relationships and in situations where there's a power struggle between people, basically. And Trump does it quite a lot to the world. So essentially, for example, when he, when that tape was leaked, the pussy grabbing tape and he issued this apology, he uses the same kind of tactics that an abusive partner in a relationship would use to try and like maintain power and like manipulate
tell you us why it's okay that he said it.
Yeah, why it's okay that he said it, and also like why we're wrong for being offended by it, you know, like to make you feel, and he'll say, you know, hey, I never said I was perfect, so what are you bothered about? Like, this is the real world.
Are you perfect?
Yeah, exactly. And also, Bill Clinton did worse things. Okay, oh, well, that's okay then, you know.
Yeah. That's like throwing shade in other people.
Totally, all the shade in other directions.
Back at you.
And by the way, Obama's not born in America, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Yeah. And all the shade he threw on Hillary about things, you know, she has so much thrown her way that, by the way, I think wouldn't have happened if she was a man, or wouldn't have had the same resonance if she was a man.
Agreed.
But that's another conversation. But he's using the same tactics that an abusive partner would use in a relationship. This particular thing, gaslighting, is something he does a lot. He's doing it now with this whole fake news spin, you know, because actually if people in America / the world begin to think, and we all know that what we see in the media around us like isn't perfectly accurate, of course we do, we're not idiots, but at the same time
I
really like to give people the benefit for doubt in as much as like we have a sense that what we're being told isn't like
him saying that everyone else is fake and actually putting out there they're fake, that's fake, it makes people start to think, well, maybe he's right and maybe he's real and maybe he's telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you don't believe him, this is a scary bit, even if you don't believe what he's saying, it creates confusion, it creates conflict, it creates like big conversations, it creates noise. And all the noise that he creates means that he is like just slowly being able to like bypass essentially like the voice of any opposition to him and just like assert his version of what reality is, which sounds super dark, but like I genuinely think it's happening.
On the news.
Yesterday's one was interesting too, because they said, oh, there's chemical attacks here. And then the day after, they're bombing everyone. It's like, well, hold on, wait. Like, wait, am I sure that actually was who they said, who told me it was? Because I didn't, you know, I don't know that.
There's so much, this morning I was listening to the news, and there's so much of the language they were using just sounded so like, what's the word I'm looking for? It sounded so, it didn't sound definite, basically, you know?
A lot of the language, vague,
thank you. Yeah. Exactly. It just sounds vague. It sounds like, there is strong suggestions that, I mean, I'm not accurately quoting, but I'm hearing a lot of that language around things. Yeah. And I am talking about things. Probably just went off mic then.
That's fine, I do it all the time. They send little notes on this
when
thing
you get
here.
Excited, when
they
you
send
excited.
Little notes and say, yeah, talk into the mic, please, and all that. I'm like, fuck that, I'll do what I like. So you use the show to highlight these things and lies that you've told.
Is a connection between the two. I think there's a really strong connection between... so the reason I wrote this show is because I have this very... I don't speak to my dad anymore because he told a really massive lie in our family, which broke our family apart. I didn't speak to him anymore. And I have.
Can you tell us that lie, or is it in the show?
I would happily tell you, but I think I should probably not, in case anybody comes to see the show.
Okay, gotcha.
It would so be a bit spoiler. Of a spoiler.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Go. So, yeah. Ooh, I'm so intrigued. You've got
but
to
it's, that, it's that deep. It's that deep that you don't speak to Dad anymore.
I haven't spoken to him for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so I don't know. Like I went through. I wrote a lot of poetry and performed a lot of poetry as well. And it's how I sort of got into writing plays. And I just every single poem I wrote would end up being about my dad in some way. Yeah. So I thought probably should write a
the
show
flowers,
about
that. The flowers in the meadow. Yeah. And I'm going to kill Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Going out for Mackie D's. I hate my dad. Yeah. Having some
interesting
barbecue
play
sauce.
There. Interesting play, Bonner. Yeah.
Exactly. Deep. Yeah. So I thought I should probably write something proper about it. Mm. So that was where it started from. And then I thought I actually want to understand how he was able to do what he did. So then I started looking into... I call it the science of lying, but that's not like a thing. Like you can't go and get a PhD in it, as far as I know.
I think you can.
They probably could,
but that
actually.
Could be a lie.
There are some
yeah.
fuck
might
boys
be a,
out
might
there
be a
that
lie.
Have got PhDs in lying.
In lying. Oh yeah, in lying. Some yeah. Fuck but I just mean in saying the science of lying.
I love it.
Yeah.
There are some fuck boys.
But yeah, so I started to look into it, and it's just. I mean, when you stop pulling the thread of how much we lie and how instinctive it is to lie, it's kind of terrifying because we are. We are conditioned to lie before we're like we don't naturally tell the truth. We naturally lie, and we have to choose to tell the truth. Like that's just how human beings operate.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
you choose.
I try not to.
I know. Oh, what to lie? Yeah. Try not to lie. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's really interesting. Is that a lot of the lies will be even on a really basic level, things that you wouldn't necessarily consider to be lying. If someone says, "Hey, doing Noel," and you go, "Yeah, I'm good. Oh, I'm fine."
Yeah.
And actually, there's. Something much deeper and darker going on that you just don't want to articulate in that moment. And we're so used to telling tiny lies in just day-to-day conversation to just like keep the conversation ticking over and
yeah, man,
keep people happy.
I threw the tank through the wall. It was great. You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And even... Okay, say like somebody you love has had their hair cut and it looks like horrendous. You're not going to be like, "Whoa!" Oh no, he's holding his pen up. Disagree.
No, see, because I'm agreeing with you in the terms that actually, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. And sometimes you're clearly not good, but I mean, you know me. I'm genuinely and generally not a person like if someone walks in and something looks terrible, I'm like.
That looks terrible.
Mate,
fair enough.
You know that looks...
Fair enough.
I might even whisper it like, brother, like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
But you know
you need to get
terrible.
That sorted out.
You need to sort that out.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's some good friending, I would say.
I'm more inclined to be like, it's so interesting.
I mean,
it's
that's
the
a choice.
New you.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
and she's like, isn't it Clarky? And I'm like, no.
Like, yeah. It's just so different.
Strong and choice.
Yeah.
So it might not be that. Those might not be the things that you... fib about, but there are just some.
I get it. Yeah.
It's woven into our lives in a way that we don't always see. Mm. Is the point? And so I think the you know we start lying when we're like, I mean, like recent studies show that babies when they're like 6 months.
Did
6 months?
Did you do that?
Old.
No.
Yeah. Oh, like, completely.
But you got chocolate on your face. No.
But even before they can understand what you're saying to them, they will pretend to cry if they feel ignored, or like pretend to smile because they know it makes it. People happy around them.
God, a little trickster.
I know, a little trickster.
I've got three of them, so I've seen
them. Yes, you're
remember
well
my he's my oldest now, but he was maybe three at the time. He discovered the chocolate coins and ate all the chocolate coins and put the wrappers by the fridge. Hid them in the corner by the fridge, like in the like stupidest Brilliant. Hiding place. But he's three. He thinks, oh, that's great, I'll put them there. And you come in and you see all the wrappers on the floor and you're like that and you're like, did you eat all the chocolate coins? No, Daddy. Well, who ate them? I don't know. So why have you got chocolate around your mouth? Do you know what I mean? And it's just like
exactly. There's a
well,
stage.
Mommy and Daddy didn't eat them.
it's when you learn to like verbalize your lies, but you have learned like zero. There's actually a story in my play that's really like that. Zero subtlety at all, and like just the weird shit that we lie about. My weirdest lie. This is a tiny spoiler, but it's my weirdest lie that I can remember telling. Is when I was 5. My sister, who I was really jealous of because she was blonde and she could do cartwheels and stuff like that.
Not into blondes.
I mean, she
not into blondes. I'm a brunette man.
I don't know. She's just my older sister. Like, I don't even need a reason for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I've made a special drink for you. And I gave it to her and she was like, why is it like, why is it warm? I was like, because it's a warm drink. I mean, good lie, right?
Great, I love that lie.
I would have fell for that. I had weed in a cup.
I knew it was going there.
And she drank that. I mean, she had a sip of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And my parents and my grandparents were in the garden as well, and they all just looked at me, and I thought it was the funniest thing.
You drank weed.
I thought it was actually hilarious. I thought I was the funniest person in the world in that moment.
I've got to tell you, I find that pretty funny.
Thank you. No, I'm going to try that tonight.
You are
vindicated. Validation.
You are vindicated. I find that thank pretty you. Funny. That thank is top you. A1 prank. That's an A1 prank. Yeah. These days, that's a YouTube prank. You would have made like £1 million off that.
You're so yeah, right. You're so right.
Would have gone absolutely viral.
It's a
thanks,
warm,
guys.
It's a warm drink. Yeah. Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Thank you for I this know, warm, it's like this warm yellow light. Drink. It must be some new lemonade I have an apple.
Hey, guys. I don't know how yellow it was. I was pretty well hydrated at the time.
It could have been quite clear.
You know, it could have been quite clear.
Cloudy lemonade. I love it.
Actually, guys, if you're listening, if you have a corker of a lie that can beat that,
yes,
then let us know. Tweet us at Fubar Radio. What is the worst lie that you've ever told?
Or best, depending
or
on your
best,
opinion.
The best to worst lie.
Yeah.
Just tell us all the lies you told. Or chill at FubarRadio.com and we will shout you out because maybe you can get some inspiration from other people. You can do a whole different show.
Absolutely. With other people's
all
lies.
All the things everyone else has lied about.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's fantastic though. So, I mean, I'm guessing this goes through like everything like relationships and work and blah 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 blah.
We all had relationship lies, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How was it for you?
Yeah,
fantastic.
I've never done that before.
Sure? Why are you moving away from me? Oh, it was so wonderful. I have to be away from you. Are you throwing up? No, I'm good.
Oh God, brutal.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's classic. Yeah.
Where are you? You're big. You are like big.
Yeah, biggest I've ever had. Oh yeah. Wow. Loads of girls have told me that, haven't they? Man, that sounds like a great show, if I'm honest. I'll be honest with you, it sounds great.
And, this is so cool.
And you've been doing pretty well with it. It's been like, what, have you been touring around or what?
Not happening? Yet. So we were in Edinburgh for the whole of, you know, August. And yes, it was amazing. It was an awesome venue. It's called The Roundabout. It's owned by a company called Payne's Plough. And it's like a fully portable venue, but it's in the round.
Yes.
It's like 170 seats and it's fucking cool. It's like got LEDs built into the roof of the actual structure in it. It's really great. So we were in there. And
do you mean that or are you lying? Like,
no, I mean, who can say?
It's a really cool portable venue.
It's a really cool portable venue. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, my gestures are telling a different story. No, it's really cool, and I was really amazed at, you know, how many people came and really connected to it. And I was raising money for Women's Aid while doing it because I do talk about gaslighting a lot in the piece, and they're amazing charity who do loads for survivors of domestic abuse.
Is this Women's Aid? Yeah?
Women's Aid, yeah. And they actually lobbied Parliament so heavily for a law change which came into effect in 2015, which now means that that coercive and controlling behaviour in an intimate relationship is a criminal act. Now,
wow! Yeah.
I mean, in 2015, that became a criminal act. You know,
yeah.
And they actually convicted the first person of that this year.
Wow!
But that's purely through the work that Women's Aid did. So, anyway, after the shows, I would go and collect money for them, and people shared some really amazing stories with me about things they'd been through and about experiences they'd had to do with gaslighting or within relationships or things the show had, you know, that they've related to in the show. So it
question
was a really cool experience.
Have you thought about, not a humorous question, serious question, have you thought about, because what you're saying I think is quite important, and actually I don't know if it's because I was raised by a single mother or just because of the writer in me, and I always like to understand things, but I think have you thought about doing a book about not just your thing but what you're talking about, some of the stories you've heard about gaslighting and the controlling things, and you know, because I think it would be much
I'd
like Vagina Monologues many years ago was quite important.
Yeah,
and
still
is quite important, but like I feel like what you're saying, it could be could have like a book of stories
of people's stories,
sort of people's stories, and you could like
stories by gaslight.
You could forward it, and you know, do a bit of funny stuff, tell your own story, then they tell their stories,
I do. That's actually a really amazing idea. I'm writing a book, but it's a fiction book, and it's a YA book, and I'm really writing it because it's a book that I would have really
young
loved
adult,
as a
by
teenager.
The way, guys, if you,
sorry, yeah.
Anyone's
I was sitting there like, what?
She's like, right, it's a book. I'm into that.
Yah!
Yah!
Yah! Is it like really
hey, it's for us, It's a yah-yah book.
I'm basically writing the book that I would have really, that I wanted when I was a teenager, because I was going through this really messed up situation at home, and so I'm writing that because I feel like if you're in the middle of that and you are placing all your trust in the people who are raising you and you can't see beyond that, it can really, I mean, that's really what happened with my dad, is essentially you hold somebody up to be a certain thing, and then when you realise they're a completely different thing, you're like, who the fuck are you and who the fuck am I, and you know, what the fuck is going on? You know, I mean, it is that's a really intense thing. So but I hadn't thought about that, but that is,
I think that could be important for your your women's aid stuff, especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still do the fiction, but I think that would be good, especially someone who's sort of in the public eye. You can kind of front the book and stuff like
that.
I'd read it.
I would so read that. I'm all over that.
I really would. I was like, you know, I was reading like Vagina Monologues when I was 15, and my friends were still laughing at the word. Like they were like vagina. They were like, and I was like,
she's an amazing woman.
Chapter five. Yeah,
my first period.
She's an amazing woman. Yeah, I always think about that whenever I make a show. I'm like, don't make that show, Katie. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Friends reference.
Well, just to recap, anyone joining, we're talking about All the Things I Lied About, which is on at the Soho Theatre. It's going to start 18th of April
till the 6th of May.
Ever so soon.
Ever so soon.
We're going to have to bow out, but thank you so much for coming in.
Go check it out.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's Katie Bonner, and directed by... Why are you not directing it, Katie? Why is Joe Murphy directing it?
Because
who the fuck is Joe Murphy?
Why is he
directing it?
He's amazing.
Why is a man? Why is a man directing this thing?
Oh, you got to have a man's voice in there.
Oh,
come
do you
on.
Have to, eh?
Yeah, you got to
okay,
keep
why, who's
equal.
Joe Murphy?
He's a really amazing director. He's actually directing John Boyega and Wojtek at the Old Vic at the moment.
Okay, I'll give him a pass.
All right, yeah.
You have a pass, John.
He's all right.
Sorry, John. You have a pass, Joe. Great. Okay, fantastic. And he's directing it, Katie Bonner, at Soho Theatre, 18th of April till the 6th of May. Guys, please do check it out. It's called All the Things I Lied About, and it's not about what Johanna lied about. It is Katie Bonner's show.
It's brilliant. Okay, we're going to go back into our 90s. We've got something from, well, it's a 70s song, but in a 90s movie in Wayne's World.
Okay, better be good.
It's another one, Bites the Dust by Queen, bitch.
Sweet.
Another one busted dust. FUBAR Radio presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
This evening I have Melanie Murphy in the studio with me.
You have an Irish accent today.
Oh my god, everyone's going to be splooshing all over the place listening.
Her last drunk advice.
Oh my god. Do you remember Melanie's voice for her clitoris? What's the time? 6:05. Good. It's 6:05 p.m. We're not even 10 minutes into the show and we're like, Mel's clip.
I just want to come, make me come.
I can't.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
What a saucy little show.
I swear they were just dirty. Calling. They were just calling my name a second ago in that advert. For some reason, it spoke to me.
Let her ask.
Who's calling me? Did you call me?
It's your gang name.
It's my gang name. Yo, what's your crew called? Clitoris.
Clitoris.
Terrible name.
It's a bad boy crew.
Right.
No, don't mess with them. That's the click crew, boy. That's the click crew.
Click crew.
They're really sensitive. Don't mess with them.
Yeah. Okay. Don't come straight over it. No, maybe they won't. That's the problem. All right.
It's getting silly. This is the last...
This show's about films. Why are we talking about that stuff? Why was that advert in the middle of our show?
Exactly. No, that was a trail.
Yeah. Why was that a trail for Hannah's
filthy
show?
Because that's what we do. We shout out each other's shows on this show.
Do they shout out our show?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah.
I never hear that because I guess... I mean, I do, of course.
Oh,
I do.
Yeah, really?
I mean, I do, of course I hear that when I listen to their shows. All the time I hear our trails. Our trails are so funny on their shows that I listen to regularly.
You know what I mean?
I might start listening to her show. She sounds like a real filth.
I think you'd like her show. You'd like her YouTube channel.
Is she dirt?
It's really
Hannah,
good.
Are you dirt?
She's a...
Filth.
She's a... Well, this, Hannah's not here. Lucy Patterson.
I'm here,
just
though. Hi.
So, welcome.
Hello.
Yep.
Film review time.
Yeah.
It's part of the show where we talk about what is good and what is shit.
Films, back to what we do. Let's do some films.
Film reviews and also a bit of TV.
Yeah.
Bit TV.
Oh yeah, that was the thing. And a bit of TV.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and a bit of TV.
So, what have people been watching on TV or Netflix or whatever? What have they been enjoying or hating?
Hate is a strong word.
Yeah, there's actually nothing I hate this week. There's no shitters, and that's quite refreshing actually. I went to see Ghost in the Shell, and it wasn't a shitter.
Oh really?
Yeah,
it's got really bad.
Well, see, this is the thing.
I don't really.
No one can really decide whether it's good or bad, and I went and saw it in IMAX. Yeah. So obviously, it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Mm. Just a little bit of an explanation: what we're talking about, Ghost in the Shell. It's a sci-fi film, and it's adapted from
comic book.
Japanese manga film. Anime.
Yes.
Is there a difference between the two, or are there something?
No idea. That's anime film, manga film,
of the same name.
Yeah.
So straight away, people are pushing back against it.
Mm.
As people do with anything in their life, if it's going to be adapted, they think straight away it's going to be shit. But it was actually a well-made, amazingly visual film. Absolutely beautiful to watch. And I think the fact that we've made so many advances in cinema and that films like that can be made overwhelms me. It's absolutely beautiful to watch. I mean, the performances were good, but I wasn't really looking past...
How good it looked.
Like the CGI of her.
Oh, absolutely. And even the action sequences and her body.
Yeah.
She is in shape. But Scarlett Johansson, I'm talking about, by the way.
Her body a CGI sort of
please
suit?
Please don't ruin it for me. I hope it wasn't. It didn't look like it. I mean, at times, obviously, if there was effects like bits coming off because she's a robot, then maybe it was. But when she was actually moving... That's the whole thing. When she's actually moving around, you can see that it's probably just spandex or rubber.
Yeah.
And Michael Pitt made an appearance as well. I like Michael Pitt. He was in Funny Games and Bully.
Years ago.
I love Bully.
And
I
he was also in
film.
The Dreamers getting his willy out with Eva Green.
Oh. I have not seen that. Thank you for that heads
gets
up.
It right
I will
out
does and
sticks
he?
A photo to it and she peels the photo off it. Yeah.
Oh my god, no. Well done. Thank you. Oh, no, I'll be watching later. Yeah. I love him.
I watch for Eva Green because she does some stuff in that as well.
Oh yeah,
she's a dirtbag in a lot of films, isn't she? In 300 she gets nailed.
Yeah.
Is it Rise of an Empire? Is it that one?
Yeah, but that's still movie sex. Like in The Dreamers, she's like full frontal camera, like an inch from her vulva.
Yeah. It's I mean it put her on the map for
I don't think she's chuffed about it though. I think she's really picky about
what she does.
Yeah. She does in terms of
Michael Pitt doesn't seem to be picky about what he does. Cause
no, watch it. She literally, you'll see.
I'll watch it. I'm hoping that Michael Pitt will now make a return to mainstream
Maybe
cinema.
He doesn't want to. He's a good actor.
He probably doesn't want to, but I think he's absolutely off the scale.
Yeah.
And really, if I'm honest with myself, they probably chose him because he looks a bit like Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
And that's quite important in the story once you've seen the film. Mm. So.
Okay.
But yeah, everyone should go and see it, and go and see it in IMAX if you can. It's visually stunning.
And it's the director, Rupert Saunders, isn't it, who directed The Last Planet of the Apes and did a film called Prison something.
Yeah.
Did a film called, I don't remember what it was called. But it was a film that came out when Adulthood came out many years ago.
But he did a bloody sterling job. It was amazing. Everyone go and see it.
So it's a good
one. The story might be a little bit weak, but who cares when it's that beautiful
to look
at. There you
go, guys. Lucy is saying go see Ghost in a Shell. So if you're going to hit the cinema this weekend, if you do hit the cinema in the sun, which a lot of people don't, which is why people don't like bringing films out in the summer unless they're massive blockbusters.
Yeah,
yeah.
But go see Ghost in a Shell.
Yeah, definitely do it.
Well, some people don't like sun.
No.
Sun allergies.
Yeah.
Also, you're going to have like a nice big free cool cinema to sit in.
Yeah, I would take this.
Even though it's not boiling hot, if someone said to me, you can have your four seasons, winter, autumn, all this, or you could have this
full
year round, I'll take this.
Yeah, just like a neutral.
Yeah, just a
neutral. It makes everyone so happy.
Right, so Netflix, they've released it, because there's so many original series now. So this is 13 Reasons Why.
13 Reasons Why.
13 Reasons Why. I was like, oh, what's this about?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that.
It is basically opens with there's been a suicide of this teenage girl, and she's narrating it.
Yeah.
And she leaves 13 sides of a set of cassette tapes.
Wow,
and
vintage.
But obviously set in the modern day. That's why she sent off.
Ah.
Yeah. And it's the 13 reasons why she...
Wow.
Because it's an old show.
Brand new to Netflix.
Netflix original.
Yeah, Netflix original, brand new. 13 reasons why.
Boom. Hasn't Selena Gomez got something to do with this? Is she a producer or something? I swear.
Oh, I'm not sure. I didn't recognise any of the cast. They're all young up-and-comers and they're good. And it's about this guy who was a friend of her, who I think he was a little bit in love with her. Mm. They were friends. And it's a mixture of the modern day tapes that he's listening to, and then flashbacks of her story.
Oh, wow.
And you can tell, and she sent them to specific people in the school who had a reason to do with her death, I think.
Yeah.
It touches on sort of bullying, and so she... You know,
13 reasons why. Oh, I got
13
it.
Reasons why. She gets with one of the jocks, and then the jock takes a photo, sends it around the school. So it's all kind of getting into that, but it was enough of a really good... I only saw the first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, no, first two episodes. And there was enough in there for me to go, yeah, this is cool.
Oh, so Selena Gomez is something to do with this. And it says there's a documentary called 13 Reasons Why, Behind the Reasons.
Yeah.
Selena Gomez is involved in it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add that to my list as well.
So, get that on Netflix, because it was good and it was well acted. And it's just an interesting concept of going back to the retro.
Yeah.
So he has to go around on a Walkman. And she also includes a map, and she said, and you need to listen to the tape as I'm saying it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take you to these specific places where important things happen.
Oh, wow.
And so he goes to like the park where that happened and this and then that. So it's it is cool. And I'm wondering whether there's going to be a twist, or whether you don't actually see any sort of the death of the suicide. You're just told that she has. So I'm wondering whether she has really died. Or
at the end, she's going to be like,
I'm alive, fuckers. But maybe. I don't know.
And you're not. And he's at the edge of cliff. She's like, I'm alive, and now you're not. And kicks him off the edge.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just
anything
thinking,
could happen.
Anything's
that is
happened.
Possible.
It's all a bit, people are in, because you're seeing the modern day and then the flashbacks, so people change characters. It's all brilliant.
Is it weird that I just thought of a whole movie while you were saying that?
No, it's not weird.
Something just popped into my head, an original
idea. That just
happens
in your brain. You churn them out now.
Yeah, something just popped into my head. I'm like, oh, that'd be a good film. Anyway.
Note it down.
By the end of the show, it'll be written.
And it's not anything like that at all, but something you said just sparked something.
I love that. There's this whole theory about ideas and the fact that ideas are actually pre-done. They're flying around and they're looking for people to land on.
And
if you are open to it, if you're like an open, the idea will approach you and it will like hit. It's why you can get hit by an idea. It's also why two people can have the same idea.
At the same time.
The ideas are just coming at
people
us.
People evolve at the same time. Literally, people will invent something in one country and go, "Man, that is good," and they'll patent it. And somebody else in a different country who's not connected are doing it at the same time. We should do this.
There's like a science of it, saying that it's actually like, so it's not your idea.
Yeah.
You are just the receptor of the idea. And you were just open at the right time. And because you know an idea, it literally hits you. You go ding,
yeah,
and it's that
actual light bulb.
I just had one. So you said one word.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking hell.
Bing.
Then something just went boom, and I just thought of this whole film.
You were receptive. I'm going to wait. Oh, we've had an email
that's
in.
That's a film in itself, though.
We've had an email in about, because we asked people about what they've ever lied about, and says, I once joked about cutting my sister's hair, but I actually cut some off, and then I lied and said I didn't do it, but I stashed it in my dungarees. I was a little bit
Hannah, well done, Hannah. That's good, so one. Funny.
And from Jack, I once lied about clogging the toilet with my poo.
Lovely.
Wasn't me.
I tell you what though, hasn't everybody had one of those moments when you're at some stranger's house? This is before you get to that age where you never do it anywhere else but your own home, or like,
yeah, where
some
you can actually
safe
call
place
it and,
but
yeah,
you're in someone's house and you think, oh man, I just need to, and you just go, and yeah, then you do the flusher and the whole thing, the whole cistern falls off.
It's literally like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
no, I've done that for sure. It, you know, and it's, I really fancied the guy who's the house.
Oh,
I was,
no,
like,
man, even worse.
I'm gonna have to.
You should have just done it out the window, like out the window. It's safer.
Or just aimed it.
Just put your bum out the window and drop it out the window. It's just safer. Because you can always say, man, you must have wolves around here or something like that. You know?
That's a big old shit down there.
You must have a big fox around here.
Me, those bears in Croydon. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was 13 Reasons Why. And just before we close, I need to talk about where I went last night, because I went to see the American Gods.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Premiere.
Oh, yawn.
Thing. And
I love Jonathan Tucker. I'm so jealous of you.
And it was good. It was very weird,
really?
But I'm excited about it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was excited about just if you watch it for the opening credits, whoever made the opening credits.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So it's based on a book by Neil Gaiman, and it's
who also wrote the film that Buddy Abraham was in.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. We had Neil Gaiman come up twice in this show. But so basically it's following this guy who played by, no, he's not a god, he's a human,
Ricky Whittle,
and he's in prison, and the day that he gets out of prison is the day that his wife dies in a car crash.
Aww.
And so he's trying to get across the country to go to her funeral, and he meets on the aeroplane, he meets a god. So gods live among normal people, and there's really ancient gods, and then there's all kinds of gods of religions of all, it mixes all the faiths up, and then you've got other things, like there's leprechauns, goddesses, sex goddesses, there is the new gods as well, like the gods of social media.
Oh wow, clever.
And it's actually amazing. So it's the god of social media is this young trendy guy with all this like digital stuff, and he's a massive dickhead, and he's like he's like, if you've got a cell phone, you worship me already. And it's like, true.
That's funny.
So I recommend American Gods.
Lovely.
For sure.
When does it start, American Gods? Soon.
Very, very soon. It's going to be out on Amazon Prime exclusively. Mm-hmm. They have thrown so much money at this. It's beautiful.
Good.
Emily Browning's in it. Ian McShane, it plays the main god called Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit like a road trip between this guy who's just got out of prison and Ian McShane.
American Gods, eh?
Yep. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
So I'm going to talk more about that last week, because we recorded a Q&A with all the actors afterwards, and it was brilliant. So
in 2 weeks, we're not here next week, I don't think.
What?
I think it's Good
is
Friday.
Is it Easter?
It's Good Friday.
It is
Easter.
Good Friday.
Oh, we
you're
going
to be in a chocolate coma.
I'm glad you said that, because I would have been here.
And God, so would I.
Where are you?
And just before we go, I'm going to announce the winner for this week's competition. So I'm happy to announce that we picked two winners. The first is Stephen from Bedfordshire and Craig from Leicester.
What?
We are going to be retweeting you back and sending you out. You have won a signed Brotherhood soundtrack vinyl.
Oh, so
Brotherhood
lucky.
Vinyl soundtrack.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah, and don't worry if you missed out, because we're going to be restarting the competition right now. So go over to the Twitter and just retweet what we're about to tweet now, and you'll be in with a chance of winning another set of those.
Lovely.
So
amazing.
Well done. And we're into close. Another one done.
Another one
bites the dust.
Guys, enjoy the films and the TV and everything this weekend. Have a good one in the sun.
Have a really good one. Whatever you guys do, we'll see you in 2 weeks then.
Boom.
Is that a song?
Oh, good song.
It's all right.
It's the real summer one.
This one's all right. It's all right.
Bye. I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last.